Welcome to We Mentor Mondays podcast with Nancy. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery. Learn something new from our stories today. Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy, where we discuss the good, the bad, and the opportunities. Today in the studio, we have Dean Hires and Pete Makalak together.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
If you're interested, and I'm sure you are, Pete had an individual 2 episodes. If you want to look him up and listen to his stories about his background, you can go to episode 56, and it's entitled Having a Say in Your Own Story, Your Life Story. We also recorded an episode number 54, A LinkedIn Encounter. So you can check out Pete with those 2 episodes, number 54 or 56. And with Dean Hires, the title of his 2 podcasts, The Tension Between Love, Manhood, Fatherhood, and Ambition in episode 57, or Am I Okay with My Amazing Bee Life in episode 59. Dean and Pete are consultants and skill builders who specialize in helping business professionals move forward, build business, and work more effectively and productively with each other. In 2001, Dean and Pete co-founded Sage Presence around their backgrounds in film, from which they cultivated a unique expertise in storytelling and facilitating performances that truly speak to their audiences. Throughout its history, Sage Presence has helped thousands of clients generate confident and influential stage presence to tell powerful stories everywhere from the networking floor to the presenter's stage. Ultimately, this has led to professional advancement and client organizations winning over $4 billion in new business. Welcome to the program, you two.
Hey. And I'd love to start with a testimony for you, if I may. So everybody, this is Dean, and I have just had an incredible session with Nancy and Pete. And one of the things that I found is when you're running business together with someone for 15 years, baggage creeps up. It comes into play, and there's certain things you can talk about and certain things that you can't. And I actually resisted this coaching session, and Nancy said, no, we're going to sit down. We're going to work through some of that stuff. And we had a great conversation. I was afraid to actually voice some of the things that I wanted to talk about. And the environment Nancy created was safe. It was fun. It was positive. And we kicked a few pieces of baggage out of the car and watched them bounce down the road behind us. And I can see them in my rear view mirror now. So I just wanted to make sure you all recognize, if you've got somebody who is a good coach who can guide you to some of those vulnerable places, don't miss that opportunity. It will be a gold mine for you later on.
Yeah. Oh. And just a couple bonus words in there. I mean,
yes, please do.
It was not only deep and effective, but it was fast. I mean, I don't know. It was like a little over an hour, you know? I mean, that's nothing.
Right. To deal with what, you know, some thorns that have been between us for over a decade.
Yeah.
And I feel like they're out, and it's just great to be able to talk about things positively, but not everyone can guide you to that place. So give Nancy a shot.
All right. Thanks. All right. That brings me a lot of joy. Well, today we would like to share, and part of the session was helping us just get to a place where you can talk openly about kind of how you began your partnership and what you each brought to the table and some of the challenges that you experienced along the way that actually brought you closer together and really recognize the gems that you have in each other.
I think that's a great setup, and I wanted to throw out as we think about this session. Picking a business partner has chemistry involved in it. It's a lot like picking, you know, a marriage partner or a life partner. Something tells you when somebody's a fit, but then you have to do the hard work of living through that. And there's times when the other person carries you, and there's times when you carry them. And somehow in business, you're expected to be equal and normal and in the middle all the time. And that's just not how it goes. So I think we learned a lot about what attracted us to each other around the business problems we wanted to solve and how we learned from each other and worked with our strengths. So I love this session.
Great. So in our individual taping sessions, you each kind of shared what brought you together. Mm-hmm. It seems like there was different skill sets that were complementary.
Sure, different skill sets and different backgrounds. I think it would probably be a good idea for Dean to start the story just, you know, with the film that he was about to make.
Well, I was not planning to start this business. That's why the other session was called Your Plan B Life. I was getting ready to make a feature film, and I had just sold a media company, and making movies was what I wanted to do forever. And I was getting ready for this film, and one of my mentors said, you need to start an acting workshop. Work with actors every day between now and when that day comes so that you're ready. And I was actually scared to do it. And I was scared to do it because there were certain qualities I know I bring, but there's certain qualities that I can sense when they're needed, and there was a void. And I had been hanging out, interacting at, I don't know where, we suddenly had been together, Pete and I, for a bunch of things.
Well, we were friends, mostly.
That's crazy.
I know.
What good did that do?
So, yeah, we were acquaintances in college, and then a mutual friend kind of reintroduced us in the 90s. And yeah, I think we bonded over film, and we just, you know, started just sort of hanging out together.
And we were talking about movie projects. We were talking about other things. And Pete has a master's in film and communication theory, and I had been making films and working with media. But the chemistry thing was there. And the chemistry was around this sort of goodness, this idea. Pete blew me away with this idea that, you know, making films isn't enough. It's not enough. It's something that I care about. But making a difference to people was so important. And I had never considered that there was something other than film that could matter. I was committed to the artist side.
Yeah. So, I think what I said was, I don't want to just entertain people. You know, I want to get them to think.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't mean to minimize entertainment or, you know, undervalue it or anything. But that would, yeah, I think that was the thing that sort of got under your craw.
Absolutely. And it was a freeing idea because I think you sometimes create your own cage out of the thing you decide is your goal. And suddenly you're not enough until you achieve that goal. And Pete kind of indicated right from the beginning, there are other possibilities. So I noticed the qualities that Pete had, including an other-centeredness, a lack of ego, a push himself aside to help others. I saw this good quality that I thought if, and I'm relatively bold, I'm pretty expressive, and in terms of film and acting, I have a lot to offer. I thought if he would do it with me, I was in San Francisco at the time, and I just committed to my mentor that I would do this. And I immediately called Pete, and I described this thing, because in my head, if he said yes, we could do this workshop. So we started working together because I could sense a balance. There were very, very different kinds of people, and we would cover the bases if we did it together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we started this workshop together, and to be honest, at the beginning, so Dean was like the lion's share of the content. You know, I mean, so he was the main voice, and I was sort of the color commentator.
Right. But what the magic happened after the sessions. Okay. Yeah, so I did have this, and we didn't really know our content. And I can get up on stage, and under the pressure of 35 people that have paid us to go to this workshop, I will find the content. And what I was really good at was pulling the content from the universe and putting it out as if I've done it 1,000 times.
Right. And yeah, and to give us both a little bit of more credit too. I mean, it's not like there was nothing. We were talking about things in advance. We
Correct.
Did figure out some stuff in advance. But yeah, a lot of it came out in the moment.
And we did study Rob Nilsson's acting workshop. So we had a bit of a clue, and we thought we could improve upon it. But where Pete really came in is after those sessions. So I would sort of carry the day in the moment because I could walk into the pressure and hold myself together and create the experience that this is something we've been doing for a while. And good content would come out, and we were good at working with people. At the end, we would dissect it. And what Pete did is help me take what's a little bit improvisation, a little free flowing and organic.
Yeah.
And he would, It would reverse engineer.
Turn it into processes.
Yeah. Yes. What is the process? And he would never, ever, nothing was good enough. And so I would say, well, it's this. And he said, you know, he would keep pushing and pushing,
deeper.
Made me like, well, crazy.
Is it that or is it this?
And, but eventually what happened is it over a period of, I don't know if the original acting workshops were a couple of years.
Yeah.
We really created processes out of soft skills. And nobody had them. We had things. So you know, have you ever noticed when you make a connection with a person, like you really click?
Yeah.
We have a process for that. Who has a process for how to click with another person? We do because of that dissection, because we would see it happen.
Yeah.
What was it? What caused it to happen? And hundreds of emails back and forth. And, you know, and we created this curriculum because he was a refiner and he was academic. He was workshop oriented and systematic. And I was improvisational, inspirational. And between the two, we had inspiration into process. It was a really interesting team. I don't know anybody who's done.
It's very
what
original.
We've done.
Yeah. It's pretty, you know, whenever you hear like a good relationship between a writer and an editor.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Stephen King talks a lot about this editor that he's been with for decades. And, you know, obviously Stephen King's really good at filling the page.
Yes.
But it takes a really gifted editor to be able to say, okay, this stuff you don't need, you know, and just to, yeah. Anyway, that's what it is.
The same thing came out when we had our first book. I am great at filling a page. In fact, I made this is how I don't do my research. I listen to the inner voice. I've always believed that what's coming from the inside is more important than what's on the outside. And so I didn't bother to look at how many pages is a book.
Okay.
I just started writing.
Yeah.
I wrote till I was done. And so I went from 0 to 850 pages worth of material, having no idea how big a business book was. I was trying to write 150 to 200 pages, and I wrote 850 pages. And then there was this huge mess of content that had to be combed out and edited through. And Pete did so much of the editing. We hired professional editors. We didn't get to the result that we wanted until Pete edited the book. And one of our colleagues,
you knew what to look for with the content.
And he knew what I was trying to say. So the person that he did the editing with, a really amazing person named Lori Flacker from Saltar Solutions, she was doing this editing with Pete. And she said that I would hear him say it and it was like butter. And he would say, no, here's what Dean was trying to say. And so in the end, it was both of our voices interpreting. It was very similar to the early days, but we created this book. It became an Amazon.com number one bestseller, and we were really proud of winning presentations for business professionals. And
nice.
You know, and actually now we have our second book coming out. Also similarly created.
Mm-hmm.
I will fill that page, but this time I had a format. I looked it up. We talked about it. It was absolutely limited, and I wrote not one word more than I was told to write.
Right. So this second book, for those of you out there who are in the construction world, it's called The Shortlist.
Yes, The Shortlist.
Yeah, The Shortlist, Winning Construction Interviews.
And it's coming out in about a month. And it's really good and it's really efficient.
Yeah.
It wasn't the exhaustive.
It's also shorter than 850 pages.
It's very, it's designed to be a book that you can get the keys to winning a sales interview, the project interviews. If you're flying on an airplane, you can pick it up. You can read it. It's really well organized. So I learned a lot that I'm even under the impression that it might be valuable to do research in general. It could be useful.
Hmm.
Wow.
Crazy thought.
Yeah.
Crazy thought.
Things can happen when you guys work together. We mentor. So tell us more about how you created such a strong foundation as partners.
Hmm.
Because you didn't start out as business people.
Right, right.
Well, we're barely business people now. It's just we're the most effective people that we know who do what we do. But that has been a hard lesson because neither of us came to it from the business side.
Yeah, yeah. And I really credit Dean with establishing that foundation.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, okay.
So, you know, Dean had, this wasn't Dean's first business. He had, he had a lot of background that I didn't have, and both in sort of in business and in like film credibility. You know, I've got a master's in film, but he had made more things than I had.
See, so, a lot of this, I'm gonna counter a little bit. I think you built the business in so many ways. So I had little credentials like, you know, film released under Warner Brothers and this media company. What I really did wasn't build the foundation of the business. What I did is I hid from the public the fact that there wasn't any foundation for the business. The skill that I had is marketing, positioning, presence. And when you walk in and you own the room and you deliver good content and you do it even the first time as if you've done it 100 times, yeah. No one's asking you about your background. What I did is I created a window for Pete to figure out how to make a business work within. And so when you'd see our business cards, when you'd see us present, you would assume we've been at it for years. And so I created it with age, right, from the beginning. And then I think Pete systematized brain, he did the hard work of figuring out how to make it work as a business. I mean, right now today, he sells more than I do. Or depending how you look at it, I cast a really big net. So I'll go somewhere and I'll generate a lot of interest. But where's the system to harvest all those leads and turn them into business? I light fuses. And I make things go boom, but somebody's got to figure out how to make the business work. So I think you figured out the business when it comes to the true foundation. I created the zone for you to do it. Mm. That's how I saw it.
Yeah, and I suppose if we were going to throw any advice out there, it would be to partner. When you do partner with somebody else, you figure out what zones each of you should sort of be in and sort of cultivate the skills for those zones. So yeah, Dean was sort of more the content guy when we started, and I was more the back office guy. And you know what I think we've both done over the years is we've kind of grown to cross over into each other's zones, which has solidified the
company. You're the quality guy. Mm. So part of it is it's aggravating, but it's never good enough. It's never good enough. And because of that, he keeps pushing it forward and getting closer. And it's like he'll find a little thing that looked clear to me, but when he gets to the bottom, it's fuzzy.
Oh, so I was the quality guy and you were the quantity guy.
I was the quality guy. I'm a smokescreen, man. You know? But part of what we teach is that. I mean, what we offer is stage presence. Mm. And stage presence, the company delivers you to stage presence. Every moment has the chance to bring confidence and power and strength to it. And some of it is, it's irrelevant whether it's, some of the quality is the body language you bring. So I always consider it legitimate, but what you did is made sure that we were backfilling that presence so that in the end the substance was there.
Yeah, actually, and that's mirrored by what happened with the business. We did start out really just exclusively focusing on delivery and presence, and pretty darn early on our clients started to ask us, well, how about content? Can you help me figure out the message? And we were like, sure.
I leave it in there. I said, totally. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yes. Yeah. Dean said, yes, absolutely.
So this is the example. So I said, yes, absolutely. And then we were met with it. Well, how do you do it? And then there was this little moment where since we hadn't done it, we didn't know how to do it. So I just reached into I just tapped the universe. What I came out with was, story. We just take the power. We use the same system that Hollywood uses to develop a movie. To develop your presentation. So we're going to bring the Hollywood screenplay structure to your winning presentation. And the climax of this story is you winning the job. And Pete's looking at me like, what does that even mean? Right, and I'm like, don't look good at me. Well, the thing is, my instinct was what we knew about story would work.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. I didn't. The smoke screen That's such the wrong word. Yeah. The authenticity is,
well, the details
I believed it
of
would
it.
Work.
Right, right.
Right. So it's I'm helicopter way up high. We'll figure it out. Pete's helicopter middle to the ground.
Right. It's not like there was any doubt on either
correct.
Part. It was just like, oh, we're kind of offering something that we haven't fully thought through
yet. Correct. Yes. Yeah. I was absolutely confident. And I mean, we'd done a lot of work with story. So it wasn't just a totally made up thing. But the thing was, I steered the conversation so that no one would ask, have you done it before?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I instilled the confidence that we were working within a zone that was our strength. And I can't be totally confident about things that are ethically inappropriate or that I have no basis for. I felt confident about it. It didn't matter to me that we hadn't done it before.
Yeah. Because you knew you would deliver and they would get the results by winning the contract.
Right. And then we did the, on our own, the evenings and weekends was doing the hard work of living up to knowing how to do it. And it worked. Right. We did. We won that project.
Sold it first and then thought it through.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and it came to you because you were listening to your customers and there was an opportunity there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
To build another element.
Yeah, exactly.
Of your business.
Yeah. And now it's just as big. The content stuff is just as big as the presence and delivery stuff. I mean,
yeah, it's incredible how we've grown. And one of the things I would like to hit on in this is there are a lot of problems and challenges that go with the thing that you must do. You must pick someone different from you. Do not replicate yourself unless you've got a position where you're literally just adding another person to do what's already been done. When you're partnering, you want to partner with someone who doesn't have your skills. That creates some problems too. And I think your listeners might benefit from that. And one of the things that happened to me that I had to discover over this duration, I'm a starter. I love starting things. I love creating new things. Now, Pete is a refiner. So think about how we're opposite. He wants to get it to a replicable, well-oiled machine that has all the kinks worked out of it. That is the
most. That's where he gets the energy.
Yes, it's the most boring thing for me ever.
Yeah.
So the more we succeed, the less, or the more I'm asking, well, what am I for? What's the value? There's always presentations. There's always new opportunities. But I went through a pretty big phase where I was getting a little disillusioned. And it led to the disillusionment was the plan B problem that other webinar is about. What I was really trying to make to do this to start my film career. I wasn't trying to be a coach and a trainer and a speaker. And suddenly as the machine started getting well oiled, the desperate need for my skill set, it didn't need it as much.
Right.
And I got a little depressed. I found a year where it was hard to answer the question, why am I doing this? I always came through for clients, though. I got to say, when I get in front of someone in need, I am so there.
Yeah.
And then when I'd step out of it, I was asking myself these questions. And it was a really hard thing to stay motivated when I didn't know why I was doing it. And that was part of it becoming a well-oiled machine. The more successful we are, the less desperately we needed my creativity. And I was getting lost.
Yeah. And so you've come full circle with that.
Oh, no, I quit. I gave up.
Yeah, there you go.
No, it has been a long journey.
You're just finishing up to your partnership tonight.
He was just, he's just dialing in from Aruba.
Exactly. It is so nice here. Yeah. It's severely pleasant. The thing that I think was the turning point is we took a higher level of control and decided to take it's strange. Ultimately, it's take our business to the next level. But what really did it was doing the opposite first. It was, we always had such grand visions and they're so hard to actualize. We decided to take a year and say, we're not going to have any big visions. Let's see how well we can make this work and take this to the next level without going to the next level. So it was more successful in a smaller package.
Yeah.
And then that led to, now how do we scale and grow this thing? And so the creativity is coming up and we've just had a lot of success that has taken some of those questions out of it for me, I guess. I'm not sure if I am 100. Did one of our other webinars explain how I got through this?
This is the update.
Oh, this is the update. So the plan B life has become more of a plan A life. And I think there is a little bit of a mystery to what's been doing that for me. But I do see now a place where the film world could filter back into this, and I'm excited to take the company to its
next level.
So
your energy, as you've, so when you went into the pit of pain and you sorted all these pieces out and you reflected on what led you to this place.
She's giving me so much credit. It was more like I just felt depressed and I just drank more and I tried to avoid looking at those places. I mean, I really,
Good to know.
But I did ultimately do that. It's just, you make it sound like I was instantly devoted to looking at I did not. I was running. I didn't know which way to go. I couldn't figure it out. And I hated thinking about it.
Okay.
But eventually I found that I couldn't escape it. And then since I was finding myself demotivated, I actually created more time to think about it.
Okay.
So I just don't feel so noble in that inner quest. I'm just not that person. However, I did do that work because I couldn't help it.
Yeah. And I think we all end up at those pivotal places where we can either the fork in the road. Right? We either, because we can't bury our head in the sand anymore. We have to, you know, make a decision about right. which direction we're going to go. Right. And you chose the direction that would cause you to do a lot of inner growth.
And I want to give Pete some credit for this. He helped me see again that I didn't have to give up my original dreams, that there were places that they could still fit in. And I guess from the Plan B Life webinar, the other thing that I got hit by is I sort of lost some of my passion for some of the things. And I was used to having that earlier passion. But when you get older, one of the things you realize is your value as a human being is not only tied to what you do. And I was so tied, my value and my identity, to what I would contribute.
Yeah.
And I've started to value myself differently. And I feel that I have value even if I'm not even separate from what that which I do. And I think it's sort of a bummer to think that my only value is what I produce. Right. And I'm valuable regardless. And there's a lot of ways to contribute. And so I'm starting to open up to a wider variety of possibilities.
Well, that gives you a lot of freedom to recreate or to create or to dabble into whatever this next phase brings to both of you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like it also brought you to a deeper level of, like a certain level of dimension of understanding each other differently.
I thought you were going to say dementia.
I'm definitely at a deeper level of dementia.
Yes. I'm pretty clear these days. I'm firing on all thrusters.
Okay, great. What are we talking about?
What is the term? I derailed. I'm good at derailing conversations.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm good at bringing us back on the track. So that's good. So when Dean says webinar, it's a key word for podcast.
Yeah, right. I'm sorry. I'm pricing out a webinar for someone right now, and that word is just right
present and front and center.
Podcast.
All right. And so it seems to me like one of the things that works with your relationship or is working in your business partnership that is a similar theme in your personal relationships is there's a core element of a deep level of trust and respect for each other. And you muster up the courage to have these deeper, harder conversations right. about when you're wounded or when you're hurt or when the other makes a decision that doesn't feel quite right. But you find a way to work it out.
Yeah. Well, I think one thing that we can both be proud of is we practice what we preach. And, you know,
sometimes one of us has to remind the other of that. And I think that person switches depending.
Yeah.
But
right.
yeah, I think we do try to be.
But, you know, communication is what we're about, is what Sage Presence is about. We're all about helping people communicate more effectively.
Especially under pressure, which is exactly what you're talking about. People clam up under pressure. We're talking more.
Right. So when we, you know, when things aren't ideal, we tend to talk them through. We tend to not let them fester.
Yeah, and that's beautiful. Mm. That allows space for you, because if you do have faulty moment with each other. When Brené Brown talks about shaming, like when there's moments where, and everybody does this every now and then, the key to successful relationships is when you're in a place where you are the shaming person, you're making somebody else feel bad, or somebody else is making you feel bad, the relationships can survive it if it's infrequent.
Right. Mm. Mm-hmm. And keep in mind the people who shame themselves, and that's sort of my tendency. I'm pretty self-shaming, and so I will read the shame into something when it wasn't there because I'm going to help you hit me over the head with that. And I've had to work to not shame myself. And it reminds me of there have been times when Pete has talked about something he contributed, like that difficult year, Pete actually rose to the challenge of stepping up and doing what it took to carry me in a tough year. I didn't read it that way. I read it as shame. I read it as him letting me know how, you know, that I wasn't pulling my weight. And I realized actually in the session today,
yeah,
how great it feels to carry someone, to rise up and find your strength to help someone through it. When I rise up to help someone, I usually am not mad at them. I don't know why I think everybody would be mad at me, but I'm usually proud and happy to get to lift someone I love and care about. And yet I'm afraid that if anyone has to lift me, they're going to be mad at me and they're going to shame me. And I don't hear it in the right context. So it's one of the best things I learned. So Pete, appreciate you rising up and carrying me during that really tough year, because that was a good year for our business. Despite the fact that it was a difficult year emotionally, it started the change. The mm-hmm. best years came after that, and I do appreciate it.
Well, very cool. And for the record, I don't think that I like carried you. I was just sort of, it was the company, man.
You're just extra awesome. You're just extra awesome.
All right. Well, that's a good place to finish out our episode today and our conversation. I think it's been very rich and honest, and has created kind of a clearer picture of the dynamic between you two of what makes it work. The longer you're in business, it's important to reinvent yourself. It's important to embrace these growth opportunities, even though they suck. you know, it's really important to do the work.
I love that she said suck. I just didn't expect her to say that. That's my favorite part of the podcast.
All right. Anything else you wanted to say before we close out our
story? Just thank you. This was fun, and I really got out a lot out of today, and I think of this as marketing and promotion. I'm actually walking away with development and growth.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I thought this whole experience, the mentoring conversation before we started recording, and this conversation after, was extremely helpful. And maybe just one final thought from me. So Dean was talking about him having a tendency to shame himself. I definitely do the same thing, and I think the only way two partners can really survive together is to respect themselves. You know, you can't, if either one of you is not respecting themselves and kind of succumbing to that story of shame, then it's going to destroy the partnership.
And you must, as a partner, be there to help build the other person's strength and confidence. Yeah. And you really want the other person to have that strength.
If you want the partnership to survive, you need to support the other person's respecting themselves. Yeah.
Yes. And we've gone 15 years and it's still 16. Wow. Now I was really excited about that a minute ago, but that's getting up there. But in any case, it's still a partnership that I want. And I have never had a better partnership in business than this one. So 15 years strong. Mm-hmm. So way to go, us.
Yeah, we must be doing something right.
Absolutely. Well, it's been a pleasure. I've just enjoyed every part of our conversation. Thank you so much.
Same here.
Yep.
Thanks, Mike Cabea, sound engineer, photographer, brother from another mother. See you next Monday. Do you want to promote your business and grow in your leadership skills? Here are a few ways you can promote your business and get leadership help through We Mentor, Inc. You can be a podcast guest. Challenge yourself to share who you are on air. We'll help you out. Secondly, you can sponsor our podcast program. You can invest a small fee to have you and your company name announced at the beginning and end of one or more shows. The third way that you can promote your business and grow in your leadership skills is you can set up an individual strategy session to do work one-on-one with me, focusing on specific life and leadership issues and skills you want to acquire. Or the fourth way is you can join an entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab. These ELM labs start throughout the year. They are small groups of 5 to 9 business owners who are out to profoundly shift their lives and lead with authenticity. In 2016, I became a registered yoga instructor and mindfulness meditation teacher. I also became certified online with Brené Brown's Brave Leadership and Courage Works courses to learn an effective process of being all in, falling, getting up, and trying again. In turn, I can mentor others in how to dare greatly and rise strong. I feel better equipped to help you forge ahead in these times of great uncertainty. Our Entrepreneurial Leadership and Mentoring Lab process is an integrated approach to leadership development. We do yoga, meditation, and leadership revolution skill setting. Yes, we will help you learn how to strengthen your body, strengthen your mind, and increase your emotional stamina as part of our leadership development process, along with learning about real-world business planning and strategic planning. We do what works. Get involved, get started. You can reach me at 612-804-8920 or go to wementor.com and connect with us. Lastly, if you like our podcast program, help us keep it going. You can donate to our program. Just go to the wementor.com website, click on Buy button, and fill in the donation amount that you would like to contribute. We appreciate any and all contributions. See you next week.